Okay, so Lisa, thank you so much for being a part of the William & Mary Hip Hop Collection.
And I appreciate you for having me. I'm happy to be a part of the Virginia Collection. It's an honor for me
Pepsis
as well.
More Pepsis for you? Diet sure. And regular? Yeah. Or are you doing
I'm okay right now.
Okay.
Well, good. So I think just to get things started, would you mind just introducing yourself?
My birth name is Lisa Yvonne Counts, and I am known as Zulu Queen Lisa Lee. I am a part of the Universal Zulu Nation. That's where I started, and today I am still a part of the Universal Zulu Nation. I come from the Bronx, New York.
Okay. So, if you wouldn't mind sort of walking through Bronx down to Virginia, you know, it's a little bit of, what is it, like 5-6 hours by car or whatever. So, mind talking about when you moved to Virginia and why?
Okay, back in 90, I made a decision to pack my stuff up and move down to Virginia. I had a couple of friends that were living in Virginia, and they told me to come and visit for the summer. Well, when I visited for that summer with my son, which was 6 at the time, I really liked it, and we started looking around, and he was pretty bad living in New York at the time, and at the age of 6, 7, he told me that he was in a gang, and he took an aerosol can and a lighter and burnt the little boy's hands in school, I figured, you know, I couldn't let him walk down the road. I just was walking down, so it was time for us to just leave, and we moved down here and made our living down here.
Okay, so friend connection also is what helped set it up.
Okay. Yep. Some friends of mine from Castle Hill Projects.
Okay.
They came down here and they would seem to be doing lovely down here, and we like the nice warm weather, so we came on down here.
Yeah, man. I'm originally from Michigan, and the weather is definitely
absolutely.
It's part of the charm, I guess.
Yes. Coming from New York, I was loving it.
Mm-hmm. So so in terms of thinking about hip-hop and hip-hop culture, was there, had you thought about Virginia in terms of hip-hop ever, previous to 1990?
No, not prior to that. Hip-hop to me was always the Bronx and New York, and that's the only place I could imagine only being doing hip hop was in New York. But as I stayed down here and I seen hip hop grow, you know, and evolve, seen Virginia getting involved in it, and it was a good thing. And as of today, like, I have people who I work with who rap, and they perform at the concerts down here, and they open up shows and stuff, and I think it's great that, you know, it's expanded down here the way it has, and the way Virginia has embraced hip-hop and things like that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that it's a movement down here in 90, like, I mean, you've been here to see Virginia grow in terms of folk, because, I mean, really, the history previous to that, not so much, but then 90 on. So, you know, in terms of, well, is there even a way to compare sort of VA hip-hop culture with New York? I mean, is, like, can you even talk about, like, this is, you know,
I might be a little biased because of where I'm from, New York has their own style. Bottom line, and Virginia has their own style, so it's hard to compare the two, because there's no Jay-Z's and Kanye's and stuff down here. They have their own style, and it's good, and I enjoy their music, but it's not, New York has their own style. The way that we rap up there is just a different type of flow that we have, and but the two of them, I can't say anything's wrong with Virginia. I love the music. I love it.
You know, right.
My kids grew up with it, and so I'm used to listening to it.
Yeah, that's interesting in terms of your kids now, sort of, in a lot of ways, Virginia hip-hop has become their sort of their entryway or their point of, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, how would you describe then VA hip-hop? I mean, you know, if New York has a certain flow, a certain way that identifies it as New York, as hip-hop, but, like, what are some words to describe VA? Because I'm always trying to, like, figure that out, you know?
Oh, that's a good thing. all they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They take a topic and they say it 50 times.
Yeah.
Put your leg in the air. Put your leg in the air. Put your leg. You know, I mean, it's just they could take one phrase and make a song, but it works for Virginia. It works for down south type of hip hop.
Yeah.
Where I don't think that we can do that in New York. We are lyricists, and we tell stories, and we tell our stories, our life stories of what we're going through, and that seems to be the music we like. You know, that thing's like, that's what we do. When I rapped, I told true experiences that I was going through at that time, whatever I was going through. Or I was good at, I like to come up with, like Gilligan's Island. I had a rhyme that went to the beat of Gilligan's Island. I would watch TV and hear, you know, the song that started off a sitcom, and I would do a rap to it, you know. So it, it's just very different how Virginia does their songs. They have a slang word they'll use, and they'll take a song and they'll make it out of that. They'll use that slang word, and they'll just make a whole song. Everybody will just keep saying that phrase, you know, stanky leg or something like that. Like, you know, it's just a big difference. You know, so you really can't compare the two. It's just two different types of music, which you have to, you can appreciate the New York music, but you have to, I think it's important to learn to appreciate down south music as well. You know, if you're a person that's into music, then you embrace it all, whether it's jazz,
right,
you know, hip hop. You should learn to take a little bit of whatever it is and see what it is that attracts the kids to it. You know, why is this on the radio versus this on the radio?
Yeah.
You know, it has to be something good. You know, somebody's listening to it.
Yeah, I mean, interesting in terms of you know, thinking about the differences. I'm wondering, you know, I'm curious about in terms of thinking about, like, representing hip hop, you know, the sort of culture of hip hop. Is there, you know, let me back it up and actually go with the do you mind, like, defining hip-hop? Like, how do you define hip-hop?
Hip-hop for myself is a way of life. Hip-hop is taking who you are and expressing it, whether it's verbally, which how I express myself through hip-hop, physically, how my son, he's a break dancer. Hip-hop is how music moves you within. You know, that's the only way I can express hip hop. Hip hop, how you dress, how you relate to your fellow me, Zulus, you know. Hip hop could be just expressed in so many ways, and for me, hip hop is just—it's just who I am. I'm 50, but yet I still need that. Need that hip hop in my life, you know. So
it's not a fad, right?
Like, no, like, not at all. It's gonna be around. You know, I know that's, they never saw it coming,
right?
But it's here, and I can't imagine us going anywhere.
Okay, so then in terms of you know, hip hop is really, I mean, the way that you think, the way that you move, the way that you breathe, you know. Is you know, even though the sort of music may be a little different, is that, I mean, is a similar way then in terms of way VA hip hop is?
Excuse me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
What was that last part you just said?
Oh, you know, so in terms of you know, talking about hip hop culture as really way you think, way you breathe. I mean, you know, as a lens to approach and view life. Is that the same? You see that as, even though the music down here is a little bit different, is that the same approach in terms of the way that hip hop is being approached down here?
At the young guys on my job, they remind me of myself when I was first got into hip hop, and I was a lot younger. when I was younger, and they always have their headphones on. Their heads are always bobbing.
They constantly
have a book and a pen with them at all times. If a thought comes to them, they're writing it down. You know, it's like nothing matters to them more to them than music. And I've been in their shoes, and to see that it's great, you know. So it's really no difference. It's if you love music, if you love hip-hop, it doesn't matter what state you're from. You know, if you have that real love for hip-hop, then you're going to embrace it 100%. And, you know, and I see the same thing with these guys out here. They're always telling me come to the shows. They make new CDs. They give them to me at work. Tell me to go home and listen to it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's all they think about. Miss Lisa, I don't know if I'm going to be here much longer at this job. You know, I'm getting ready to take off. I'm trying to get involved in this. I have to put my all into it, you know. And I get it. You know, I get it. You have to put it all, your all into it.
Yeah. So in terms of like history or stretch. Yeah. Oh, you got okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of that's nice, and that you're seeing that sort of link between when you came up, not only when you came up, but when you were helping to create hip hop, that they're living it the same way, or that it means the same thing to them as well.
Well, I think it's important that we know that there is a link all over this world between whether it started in New York. It's still a link from state to state. That's why, and Bambada taught me that, you know, it's peace, love, unity. You know, you have to stick together, and you have to, if you want people to embrace you, then you have to embrace others as well. You know, and if just because you love hip-hop, and you might love hip-hop because you came from New York, or you started in New York, or you feel like that's good hip-hop, it's unfair for me not to embrace my Virginia people that are in hip-hop. If I call myself a person who loves hip-hop, you know, that would be unfair. And I believe, and I love to go all over the world and to see people involved in hip-hop. I'm running over to tell them who I am, to let them know, hey, I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. I live the same life you live, you know. So
in terms of, you know, curious about your influences, you know, and especially, you know, in terms as a founder of the movement, you know, like, who influenced you in terms of as you were putting all this together?
We always had a record player in my house, and we listened to our 45s, and I listened to a lot of James Brown, and a lot of Aretha Franklin, and Diana Ross, and I was constantly...
Good so far? Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
And I always listened to music. Then we got drum sets. We had a drum set in there. We had instruments. I played the clarinet. We always was musical in my house. So then we moved up. We had turntables, a mixer, microphones. You know, my dad always supported us and gave us these things. So you'd hear in the parks, because back then, this is way, I'm talking before we had the centers, people would come out and bring their system into the park.
Okay.
And you listen to music in the park, and you'd hear the music, and they weren't rapping at that time. This is the early 70s. They were more like crowd pleasing, just and you say so and so is on the microphone, you know, and DJ so and so is here, you know, stuff like that. And I always found it interesting, you know. So me and my brother would be writing rhymes in the house, and I wrote my rhymes. And one day, I don't know, I just felt like I was to this point where I needed to be recognized. Bambada and Disco King Mario, anybody who started out back in the day, they would know who Disco King Mario was. They were playing at junior high school in the Bronx called 123. And I showed up. I asked, could I get on the microphone on Bambada's side? And they let me. And
that was that.
That was that. Next week, my name was on a flyer.
Okay.
And it wasn't no turning back, you know. So.
Yeah. Okay. So then, that seems to be one of the major through lines for everybody, is that, you know, grew up where where music was embraced, mm-hmm. where music was played by everybody in the family, you know, like music was loved. So then in terms, though, always been very curious about that, in terms of, you know, being, you know, well, that's a pioneering woman, but just, you know, women in hip-hop in general, what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, and in terms of just, I mean, experiencing anything where, like, you had to come at things a little bit harder because, you know, you didn't get the benefit of that, or people were harder on you because you were a woman, or...
I think I had it a little easy because of Afrika Bambaataa and his respect and his and the demand that he gives for the men to respect the women. So he always put me on a pedestal. You know, and that's why he calls all of them Zulu queens. And my name was Queen Lisa Lee, because he made sure that they knew that I was a queen and that I had to be respected. So it was pretty fairly easy for me. I never had any problems as far as like the guys telling me, when we did get other MCs, that the guys telling me, nah, you're not getting on. It was like the highlight when Lisa Lee got on. You know, and they always embraced me. They made sure that I was always okay, and I show up at all the parties and I can get wherever the jam was going to be, you know. So I never had those kind of problems as far as with the woman. And to see another woman MCing somewhere else was like, it wasn't to win a battle, though. It was like, wow, there's another, that's Shawrock. There's other women out here, you know, and I was happy, you know. And then, you know, it's a time me and Shaw got on the mic, me and Shawrock got on the microphone together, and we went back and forth, and they always asked us what is a battle, but it wasn't. It was a your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn.
Right. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Shaw. Ready? Okay. So to see other females, like I said, with Shawrock, and then there were Debbie D, who played in Beat Street along with me and Shawrock, and there was Pebbly Poo, who was down with the Herculoids, and then you had the Mercedes ladies, you know. And to me, that was a good thing to have us out there, you know. We should always embrace each other. You know, you had your DJs, DJ Baby D, you had DJ Flame, you had Jazzy Joyce. You know, these are female names that should be recognized today still, because people don't.
No.
They don't carry these names on, and they should. And it's our job. The men do it for each other. It's our job to pass these names on and to let everybody know that we existed then and we're still relevant today.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is good, actually. Make sure that I'm going to, if you want to get in touch with the woman at the Smithsonian, her name is Laurel Fritch. They're doing, I don't know if we talked about it, we might have mentioned it, but anyway, it's doing a program, an exhibit at the Smithsonian on the, it's on the technology of the record player.
Really?
And so it's all about, and they're taking it from 70s Bronx. And one of the things that, you know, I had the opportunity to meet her, talk with her, and, you know, gave us some names of some folks to talk to that I knew, but one of the things that she was really interested in doing is highlighting women DJs from that era. And
I have access to
I'll connect you, because I was like I haven't met it, you know. I was like, other than some of the names that I know from just reading, I was like, I don't know any, you know. So
the two names I just mentioned, I have access to.
Okay, good.
Right now,
yes.
Because we're trying to get a picture, which is, this is so hard to all of us to be in the same place at the same time. We're trying to get a picture of me and Shawrock, Debbie D, Pebbly Poo, Joyce, those two females I mentioned, Baby D and DJ Flame, Mercedes ladies, and I just spoke to Lady Pink. She's a graffiti artist from Wild Style, and I just spoke to her because it's important that they recognize that it's not just rappers and DJs, it's graffiti and breakdancers too, and those females need to be, you know, we need to shed some light on them as well. So I reached out to her and told her what I'm trying to do, and she's like, oh, she's definitely with it. So
okay, that's good. Yeah, so I'll email you her contact info, and so I think it's going to be either the end of 14 or like spring of 15 is when the exhibit's going to be unveiled. But
that's cool. All right. Yeah, that gives an ample time to get everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, that's exciting because I felt so bad. I was like, I don't know anyone. the like original women that were DJs. Mm. Okay. So that is other stuff. So I mean, in terms of describing your, you know, your style of hip hop or your artistry in hip hop, like, how would you describe it?
My style. Mm-hmm. My style. I've always done, which I think I mentioned, I like to rhyme and do storytelling. Mm-hmm. I would take something off of a sitcom or a TV show, anything that I've seen on TV or a record that I might have heard, and I would turn it into a rhyme. If I like the beat or the rhythm of it, I would turn it into a rhyme. But the rhyme itself would be something that I experienced or would like to experience. Most of it was what I was how I was living, what I was going through. Would be most of my stories. I wasn't a rapper.
Ready for another Pepsi? Okay.
I wasn't a rapper that talked about my body or getting with guys and stuff like that. I always talked about uplifting myself. You know, I'm a queen. I demand respect, or you know, I'm the best at this, the best at that, stuff like that. It was never nothing demeaning. Always, you know, encouraging to the ladies or to myself. And I can get any guy, would probably be the only thing I might have said. Any guy.
Right.
But yeah, I would describe myself as a pretty aggressive rapper. You know, not to aggressively towards other females, but just aggressively towards the audience. You know, to pull them in, to let them know that I'm in charge. So I would guess I could describe myself as that.
So and then in terms of, mentioned it a little bit, in terms of taking like a sitcom theme song or something, or you know, a record or whatever you heard, and then put your lyrics over that or work it into it. In terms of then the creative process, could you walk me through that a little bit more? Like, you know, I guess in terms of like identifying, like, I want to talk about this to that. I mean, how did that take shape? Was it just sort of, did it just naturally take shape? Or were you like, this is more suited for, I want to talk about this, so like Gilligan's Island works better for this versus, you know, I want to take this record and talk about that.
I didn't have to put so much thought into it. It just
flowed.
It was just natural. Yeah. If I heard something, the words just started coming off of my tongue. Like, okay, that goes, and that goes. And it's never, I didn't have to take a rap that I wrote and then put it with a song. If I heard the song, I'm making the rap up as I hear the song.
Okay, so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the music hit you first.
The music would hit me first.
And that would bring, would bring the lyrics.
Yeah.
So in terms of, would you then write them down, or was it main? Or I mean, it initially started as sort of like freestyling, and then it became.
I wrote everything down, but the thing was, as I wrote it down, as you write it down, it was like I was memorizing it as I wrote it.
Okay.
You know, I probably went over it one other time, and then you would already know your rap.
Okay.
You know, it just stuck with you.
Okay.
But I wrote everything down, and I kept a book. Carry it everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So that when something hit me, I'd write it down.
And then just sort of going from there, are there any folks, any MCs that came up after you in your sort of in your wake that you say, oh, I can see a little bit of my influence in them, or I hope that, like, I can see perhaps that I was in some way influential or instrumental in, and then developing their own style?
That's interesting. I would hope that they heard of me and that I played influence on. A lot of people always say that I reminded them of MC Light. What was this young lady's name? She was down with Fat Joe. don't even know her name. That's a shame. I can't think of her name. You tell me all of the time that I remind myself of her. Mm-hmm. Down with Fat Joe. She's locked up now. I'm just gonna stick with MC Light. I think that's. I would have to say her she, the most.
Yeah.
Of our styles, she was an aggressive rapper, and you know, talked about what she could do and how good she is. And I always seen me and her kind of familiar to each other.
Okay, so just in terms of. Actually, you know, in terms of I'm trying to think about, you know, in terms of then getting to know the sort of scenery down here. I'm interested, if you wouldn't mind talking a little about, you know, the folks. What are you up to today in terms of, you know, some of the guys that you work with who are sort of involved with VA rap, but what are you sort of up to today?
Right now, I'm just starting to get involved with activities down in Virginia. I still go home a lot to New York, and I'm working on a documentary of my life story. I am involved in some program that's going to be taking place in the next year of Women in Hip Hop. I'm also working on a few articles with some women in New York that are female MCs and DJs. We're all trying to get together. I don't want to get too deep into we're doing, but we're all pulling together to form us I guess you would call it a group. So just give us a little bit more power behind our words and what we're trying to accomplish out here, because you know, power comes in numbers, and you know, by us trying to do it all one-on-one, we think if we just pull together, we'll gain more out of it. I'm also working on doing a lot of public speaking and mentoring to the younger kids who might have, you know, took a left turn and just trying to get back on the right track. You know, I have a story that I think if I share with them, it would definitely help them out. Other than that, that's probably it.
And just, you know, just in terms of, well, obviously, you know, having sons grow up in Virginia, and then, you know, being here for, you know, the last 20 years or so, how would you describe the state of Virginia hip-hop today?
Wow. It's expanded extremely large from the day I've come down here. It's booming. I mean, I enjoy their music. I think that they're making their mark. They're making their mark, and not just in Virginia, but worldwide. I mean, you never thought that down south would take over the way it has, and it took over at one point where I thought it was going to leave New York in the dust.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean,
right,
they
right.
really got off the ground and ran with hip hop, and I just see it moving in really positive directions, and you know, as long as we stay grounded and we don't, we just get away from disrespecting our women. You know, that's like the biggest problem I have with the hip hop is we don't even have to do that. You know, the music itself is been embraced by the world,
right,
so we
right.
don't have to talk about our people in that manner. You know, we could always talk about them in a positive manner, and I think that would take us to places that, I mean, it would just take us to limits that we couldn't be stopped as far as hip hop is concerned.
And bringing up the fact that it is an international, you know, global phenomenon. It's, you know, global culture. Why do you think that it's traveled the way that it has, and that people have appreciated it all over the world and love it all over the world?
Well, I think how it started is most of it, when it started, it was started by people that came from nothing. And how many kids can relate to that? Unfortunately, in some way, or a single parent child, you know. So when you're telling these stories through your rap, through your songs, how many? many kids cannot relate to it?
Right.
How many have dropped out of school or had a brother that was on drugs or just some type of tragedy, whether you lost a parent or something that might have happened to you, is what I think drew all of the kids in. And that just drew people in from all over. And then your kids use this in a positive manner. So you might have had a bad child, and now they're rapping. You didn't think it was going to turn into something, but look what they did with it. They took all of that negative energy, put it through the microphone, and used it to, or as a release, a form of releasement of their anger. And then that just spread all over the world, and people did that all the time. You know how many, the prime example is the Black Space, to the organization, to the Zulu Nation, Universal Zulu Nation. We changed that from negative to positive. Bambaataa took that and turned it all the way around. He used that music and the lyrics and our words and turned it into positive. How can anybody not look at that and not want to do that? You know, and by him telling the other gangs in the other areas, let's form together. And I think that just took over, you know, that just let it take over all over. And then Bambaataa going all over the world and spreading these words and sharing peace, love, unity. I mean, come on.
So now in terms of then, I mean, everything we talked about is sort of highlighted how hip-hop has impacted your life. However, how has hip-hop impacted your life?
Wow. That was funny. How has it impacted my life? Hip-hop has actually made me who I am. I had a lot of anger as a young child, and when I got into the Zulu Nation, I was embraced with nothing but love. That became my family. And Bambaataa took such a, he is a, when he speaks, you want to listen. He has a lot to say that is of substance. You know, he is a very intelligent man, and he teaches you to grow. He teaches you to use your brain to better yourself. That this is not it. Where you are right now, this is not it. There are bigger things for you out there. And through hip-hop and music and us traveling and allowing me to rap and get on the mic and express myself made me evolve into who I am. You know, hip-hop, and although I moved to Virginia, I never let hip-hop go. I've always been a part of the music. I go back for anniversaries. I listen to music down here. I'm constantly on the web, you know, checking out the music. Right now I'm trying to go overseas. I mean, it's made me appreciate a lot more than I probably would have if I didn't have hip hop in my eyes. I don't know if I would have seen things the way I visualize things in my life today. You know, it sounds strange that it can play such a big part in your life, but it really can. You know, it teaches me discipline. It taught me discipline as to react in certain ways. You know, not younger, but now who I am today. As I got older.
Right.
You know, I had my moments when I was a little out of control, but you know, hip hop is just. I don't know how to express myself right now. It just made me a better person. You know, overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are we doing over here, guys?
We're good.
Good.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, what do you think is, so that was, you know, sort of the personal impact, but what then do you think is hip-hop's impact on American culture and American history?
I think that hip-hop on American culture was like a, first of all, it came as a shock. I think when it took over, it shocked the world. They never even seen it coming. And when it did, it wasn't embraced at first, mm-hmm. but after you listen to the music, I mean the lyrics, and you listen to what they're expressing, I think people chose to dig a little deeper into mm-hmm. it and see what are these kids really talking about, you know, what is really going on with them, and not just look at their saggy pants or mm-hmm. maybe the some of the bad words that they chose to use, but to actually listen to what they're actually saying and understand us more, mm-hmm. you know. I think that the impact it's had on us is unbelievable. The hip hop culture is like we're at an all time high. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, where we're gonna go from here, I don't even know.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I mean, for it to be worldwide the way it is now, and the demand for it right now is unbelievable. I mean, every show that you see, whether it's a musical, they put hip-hop in it some kind of way, whether it's a graffiti artist in the background with graffiti writing or a break dancer, you will see some form of the hip-hop culture movement involved in everyday life now. You know, we were up at Cornell, and they just had this one street out in Ithaca, New York, where they had did graffiti on a whole wall. They were just out there with spray cans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and...
Oh, yeah.
I would have never... They probably never expected anything like that.
You can see the folks in Ithaca like,
the heck is going on? Right, because I was interviewed by a news channel up there, and he told me he didn't even know what hip-hop was. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like taking over. I mean, and he just pulled it in like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, now, look, they have so much going on all over, you know. Out here in Virginia, I would have never, ever thought that the impact would be the way it is with hip-hop right now. Mm-hmm. You know, with the college, I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, you know, and that actually, that leads me, you know, perfectly, thank you, to the next question. But, you know, just curious about your thoughts on, well, obviously Cornell, and now William & Mary, but, you know, Harvard, you know, Atlanta University, University of Houston, you know, all these schools are starting to get into the hip-hop business, or at least in terms of the history. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
My personal thoughts are I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's way past due. Mm-hmm. This is definitely that needs to be in the colleges and universities, absolutely. But I also think it's important that no matter where, what state or what college, university decides to introduce the hip-hop collection, mm-hmm. that they need to still teach the children where it started. Mm-hmm. I think it would be horrible not to mention the Bronx, New York.
Right.
You know, where it started, who started it, whether for them not to mention Herc, you know, for them not to mention Bambaataa. I think that would be awful, you know, to not mention Disco King Mario. These are names that if you don't know these names, then you don't know where hip-hop started. You know, you're just talking off of the top of your head.
Right.
You know? But I think it's a great idea that everybody's opening up their eyes to see that this is the time to get into it. This is the time to start snatching up these people and bringing them into the universities, because, you know, it's in demand right now, and everybody's getting into it. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. So then... Looking forward then, sort of future casting, right, like they do on the Weather Channel, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the line, where do you see hip-hop both as a force in your life, but also in terms of just, you know, American culture, worldwide culture?
I see it as a regular curriculum at colleges, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're already doing that now, I see that as something that's going to be... definitely a curriculum that you can take up to become a teacher,
at
teaching this and in your classes. The key is to don't forget the foundation of it, you know. to do whatever, whoever teaches this, to make sure they do their homework correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, to make sure that they, when you're teaching it, just don't give them the outskirts, the good stuff.
Right.
Give them all of it, you know, because that's the truth, you know. It's simple stuff like the Rosa Parks story. Mm-hmm. You have to tell the real, some of the bad stuff, too, in order to appreciate the good stuff of that story, you know. So, you know, I see it just taking over, and I can sit back on my, God willing, I'm still here. I can sit back in my rocking chair, and and they'll stroll me into a room and say, "Do you know who this lady is?" You know, in my little wheelchair. I say, "You wouldn't believe that's how long ago this started in the 70s, you know.
So in terms of then all my stuff for the William and Mary Hip Hop Collection, we worked through my little cheat sheet of stuff. Anything that you want to add, or anything that perhaps that I missed that I should have brought up?
I do want to say this, along with you knowing who I am, the Zulu Queen, Lisa Lee, I am an original member of the Soul Sonic Force, way before they did Planet Rock.
Okay, yeah, so...
I was with the Soul Sonic Force.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question about that, but I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about that now, but...
Well, just to say who I was.
Yeah.
And I'm I was an original member of the Cosmic Force, and I did a record with them.
Yeah, so I think so. You were there for the Zulu Nation Throwdown that they recorded, right?
Mm-hmm. Zulu Nation Throwdown with the Cosmic Force.
And
I did a song called "I'm a Pioneer" with B-Fats.
Ah, okay, yeah.
That was done in the '80s.
You know, so in terms of, I guess this is a question I have. Your view on the way that. Record labels and the music industry relationship with hip hop. You saw it. I mean, you lived it. What are your thoughts on that?
What do you mean?
Just sort of how it developed.
Record labels?
Yeah, well, you know, because we're talking, we've got, what is it? Paul Winley? Paul Winslet, you know?
Paul Winley.
So Paul Winley, so you've got that, and then the sort of unauthorized Zulu Nation Throwdown issue there, and then the switch over to Tommy Boy, and then. Things start to develop, you know, so we go from the sort of small independent labels to big business. Just curious about, was something lost, something gained, like, you know, I mean...
I don't want to have that conversation.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
I have nothing good to say about none of that stuff. They just treated us like garbage.
Yeah, I think then that's... Silence is the best answer,
yes,
you know what I'm saying?
For that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then in terms then of that conversation, for the collection, I'm good if you're good.
I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you again. Lisa, thank you so much.
Can I give you what you needed?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, good.